And a good Sunday afternoon to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. We are on the air this afternoon with breaking news here in North Carolina politics, a bombshell story. U.S. Senator Tom Tillis announcing just an hour or so ago that he is officially not running for re-election. This comes after an interesting couple of days with this North Carolina senator. He, one of just two Republicans in the United States Senate yesterday, voting against President Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill, at least part of the reconciliation plan that went on yesterday afternoon in Congress. Trump absolutely torching Tillis. We'll get into all of those details over the next little bit this morning, coming up here in just a little bit. Some massive political news here out of North Carolina. Again, U.S. Senator Tom Tillis says that he is out, will officially not be running for re-election, and that is going to make things very interesting as we head into the primary season here across the state of North Carolina. Of course, Tillis, one of the Republican senators whose name was going to be on a ballot coming up next year as we look at the midterm elections for the second Trump administration. Senator Tillis has not necessarily always been a friend to the president. Of course, controversy back earlier this year over him. Some feel and some reporting indicated that he was attempting to harpoon Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth's nomination. We reported on that back in the earlier parts of this year. He has been at odds with Trump a couple of times during the second term. And the biggest, of course, unfolding yesterday when Senator Tillis announced that he could, in fact, not support the big, beautiful bill that has been name keyed by President Donald Trump, and the president not holding anything back on Senator Tillis yesterday afternoon. This is the Post, in case you missed it. This is how President Trump went through and documented Senator Tillis. He said, quote, "Looks like Senator Tillis, as usual, wants to tell the nation that he's giving them a 68% tax increase as opposed to the biggest tax cut in American history. At the same time, he is unable to understand the importance of debt extension, which Republicans gave to Democrats just prior to the November the 5th election because of its significance and how important it was for the future of the USA. Sadly, the Democrat politicians probably won't reciprocate on the debt extension because they're nasty people who actually hate our country. Tillis is also willing to throw the very important tobacco industry in North Carolina out the window for reasons nobody seems to understand. He loves Chinese-made windmills that will cost a fortune, ruin the landscape, and produce the most expensive energy on earth. I can't believe that the great people of North Carolina, a state that I love and won all three times, and a state that I just brought back with money, blood, sweat, and tears from the recent tragic floods when sleepy Joe Biden let them drown right up until the end of that administration. Without doing anything, I was given an A-plus rating for the job that we did in bringing it back. And Tillis, despite being a Republican, was missing in action. North Carolina will not allow one of their senators to grandstand in order to get some publicity for himself for a possible but very difficult re-election. Americans want reduced taxes, including no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security, interest deductions on cars, border security, a strong military, and a bill which is great for our farmers, manufacturers, employment in general. Tom Tillis is making a big mistake for America and the wonderful people of North Carolina." That was one of the two posts that President Trump put out yesterday afternoon, or yesterday evening, probably more accurately to classify that, about Senator Tom Tillis. He then followed up later on with another post seemingly indicating that he was going to be looking for and trying to help somebody primary Tillis. And I guess the president, well, got his wishes in an announcement just about an hour or so ago. U.S. Senator Tom Tillis announced that he is officially not running for re-election. He put this post out on his press release out today. It reads as follows. it has been a blessing to go on a journey from living in a trailer park and making minimum wage as a young man to having the honor of serving as a U.S. Senator for North Carolina. I am proud of my career in public service, including hard-fought victories like passing historic tax reform as North Carolina Speaker and working in the Senate to help pass the Tax Cuts and Job Acts and confirm three conservative Supreme Court justices and counting. What I'm most proud of are the bipartisan victories, passing the first in the nation eugenics compensation as Speaker and working alongside the aisle, across the aisle rather, in the Senate to pass the largest investment in mental health in American history, passing the Respect for Marriage Act and monumental infrastructure investments, as well as reestablishing the Senate NATO Observant Group. Sometimes those bipartisan initiatives got me in trouble with my own party, but I wouldn't have changed a single one. In Washington over the last few years, it has become increasingly evident that leaders who are willing to embrace bipartisanship, compromise, and demonstrate independent thinking are becoming endangered species. Democrats recently lost two such leaders who were dedicated to making the Senate more of a functional and productive legislative body. They got things done, but they were shunned after their courageous refusal to cave to their party's bosses to nuke the filibuster for the sake of policy expediency. They ultimately retired, and their presence in the Senate chamber has been missed sorely every day since. It underscores the greatest form of hypocrisy in American politics. When people see independent thinking on the other side, they cheer. But when those very same people see independent thinking coming from their side, they scorn, ostracize, and even censure them. He's, of course, referring to the North Carolina Republican Party on that. He continues by saying too many elected officials are motivated by pure raw politics who really don't give a damn about the people they promise to represent on the campaign trail. After they get elected, they don't bother to do the hard work to research the policies they seek to implement and understand the consequences of those policies that could have on the young living adult living in a trailer park struggling to make ends meet. As many of my colleagues have noticed over the last year and at times even joked about, I haven't exactly been excited about running for another term. This is true since the choice between spending another 6 years navigating the political theater and partisan gridlock in Washington, D.C., or spending that time with the love of my wife, Susan, our two children, three beautiful grandchildren, and the rest of our extended family back home. It's not a hard choice, and I will not be seeking re-election. I am beyond grateful for the friends I have made over the years in North Carolina and our nation's capital, as well as the amazing staff who are among the very best the Senate has to offer. I still look forward to continuing to serve North Carolinians over the next 18 months, and I look forward to solely focusing on producing meaningful results without the distraction of raising money or campaigning for another election. I look forward to having the pure freedom to call balls and strikes as I see fit and representing the great people of North Carolina to the best of my ability. End quote, and end the statement there from U.S. Senator Tom Tillis, again, announcing just an hour or so ago on Sunday, June the 29th, that he is officially not running for re-election. This is going to be a very interesting situation that is likely going to play out here in North Carolina over the next couple of months, as now Republicans are going to be forced to essentially scramble to try and find an individual that not only can win in a primary election, which will be here relatively soon before you know it, March of 2026, we'll have the new election, we'll have that primary election take place, and whoever the Republican candidate is then will, of course, transition over to running a general election against a Democrat field, which is already likely to include multiple individuals. Obviously, former Democrat Governor Roy Cooper has been one of the individuals that has consistently been played out and has been, rumored to be running for that position. Roy Cooper has an incredibly high favorability rating here in North Carolina. Contrary to what many on the right would want to believe and want to think, He is an incredibly popular character, and that is something that is going to be a major issue for Republicans to deal with. On the other hand, Jeff Jackson, who is currently the Attorney General, who could also be eyeing a run for United States Senate on the Democrat side of the aisle, put out this statement on his X account saying, quote, "I respect Senator Tillis' decision to end his career in the Senate when he felt the time was right. I also appreciate that he was willing to vote against last night's budget bill, even though it ran against his political interests, because it would cause serious and lasting harm to North Carolina families and economy." By the way, I'll note Jeff Jackson doesn't give a damn about North Carolina's families or their economy. He is a far-left progressive radical who would do anything in his power to oppress the people of North Carolina with his wacko political ideology. I'll just make sure that you understand that part of it. "I saw that he spoke about having the pure freedom to call balls and strikes over the next 18 months, and I genuinely look forward to that. It's the approach that will serve North Carolina best, and I'm glad to see that that's how he sees his mission with his remaining time in the Senate." You've got to love the irony of now statements like this from Democrats like Jeff Jackson. These people despise Republicans. They despise Tom Tillis. They despise Ted Budd, our two United States senators. But now that Tom Tillis is saying, "I'm not running for re-election and I'm going to call balls and strikes," which the indication there is that he's going to vote against Republicans in the United States Senate. Now Jeff Jackson is applauding him for his great work, right? This is the typical hypocrisy of the left. Now that Tom Tillis might vote against those evil, terrible, awful, miserable Republicans in Washington, D.C., he should be applauded for what he's doing. These people have absolutely no class and no character. Not talking about Tom Tillis, I'm talking about Jeff Jackson and likely other Democrats who are to come forward in the coming days and weeks and make similar statements about how, it takes so much bravery and so much courage to do this and so much courage to do that. It's absolute insanity. So you've got that announcement coming out. This, of course, brings forth the question as to, well, who runs, right? Who is the ends up being the Republican candidate for this position? I caught an interesting post on X, if I can find it. I seem to have lost it. There has, of course, been some discussion in Washington, D.C. about this over the last couple of days or so. This is Jake Sherman over at Punchbowl News, who's tweeting out, "Already a lot of buzz about Representative Pat Harrigan and RNC Chairman Michael Whatley. Harrigan is a freshman Republican and a graduate of West Point." So those are two of the early names that come that seemingly are coming forward as potential front runners or somebody that could run for this. Obviously, you've got other United States members of Congress. Another one that comes to my mind is potentially somebody like Richard Hudson that could run for one of these seats or for that seat in the primary. You know, statewide, you could potentially see some other candidates maybe throw their hat into the race as well. The reality of this, though, is who, regardless of who the candidate is, it is going to be incumbent not only that they can win the primary, but then they have to win the general. And I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to continue to harp on this as we watch this process unfold over the next couple of months. It doesn't matter how good your primary candidate is. If that candidate has no viable path, has no viable victory to winning in the general election against somebody like a Jeff Jackson, a Cal Cunningham, a Roy Cooper in a state that is increasingly purple, then it doesn't matter. And this is something that Republicans are going to have to deal with and conservatives are going to have to wrap their head around over the next 6 or 8 months. And I'm just going to come out and say it, but we can't fall into another Mark Robinson situation. This guy cleaned a house in the primary, absolutely destroying the other Republican candidates, all to then get absolutely annihilated in the general election. Mark Robinson provided Republicans with the worst gubernatorial loss in North Carolina in over 40 years. And I know Republicans still like Mark Robinson. I know that they believe that he was somehow snubbed or that he wasn't taken seriously enough by the North Carolina Republican Party. The voters chose him. He was a damaged candidate, and he got his ass handed to him in the general election. It's really as clean as and as clear as that. It's one thing to win the primary. It's another thing to actually win in the general election. And that is a tough pill for a lot of people to swallow, but that's the reality check that a lot of Republicans are going to have to do over the next couple of months as more and more candidates now try and fill this vacuum, this void that is now needing to be filled with a strong Republican candidate. It is going to be incumbent on not just picking the guy that says, oh, I'm the best Republican that can run in the primary. It's got to be who is the best Republican that can not only win in the primary, but then also go eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth with Democrats in the general. This Senate race coming up here in 2026, November of next year, is likely to be the most expensive Senate race in United States history. There is going to be hundreds of millions of dollars from outside states, from New York and California and Illinois and all these progressive hellholes that they've created, that are going to be flowing into North Carolina and backing the Democrat candidate. And so it is going to be very, very incumbent on Republicans to pick a strong candidate that, again, not only can win in the general, or not only win in the primary, but then go forward and win in November. And I would argue, even without Tillis announcing that he was going to retire, not run for re-election, that was going to be a hard race no matter what. I would like to, looking at some of these details, here is the Senate race from November the 3rd, 2020. This is the last time Senator Tom Tillis was on a ballot. And you can very clearly see, based on these election results from the State Board of Elections, that that was a tough race for Tom Tillis. He was the incumbent in this race, and he only beat Cal Cunningham, the Democrat, in that race by 95,000 votes statewide. You had Tillis with 2.6 million votes, Cal Cunningham with 2.5 million votes. The percentage difference between those two candidates was 1.75%. This was a very, very, very close election. The state of North Carolina has gotten, I would argue, in some cases, more purple since November the 3rd, 2020. The state has continued to transition to a more purple state. Now, in some places, in some cases, it's more red. In other places, especially our big metros across the state, you look at Charlotte, you look at Raleigh, the RDU, Raleigh-Durham area. You go out towards Greensboro and Asheville, and even down here on the coast in Wilmington. These are areas that are trending more purple, or in some cases, more blue than red. And so it is going to be a very tough election cycle, regardless of who the Republican is. And that's why it's going to be very incumbent on North Carolina voters, particularly those that show up and get involved in the primary process, that you put forward the best candidate for the general, right? Winning in the primary and then getting your ass handed to you in the general election does you no good. You can't pat yourself on the back and say, oh, look at this, though. I won in the primary by 30 points. That doesn't matter. Doesn't mean anything if you can't translate that win in the primary to a general election victory. It literally means nothing. It has absolutely no impact if you can't win in the November general election. And, you know, I caught some data out of a Carolina Journal poll. This is back from May. And this was one of the questions about the favorability, the image of Tom Tillis. His favorability sucked even back in May. Only 26.4%. Very favorable was only 8%. Somewhat favorable, 18.4%. That's how you get to the 26.4. His unfavorables, incredibly high at 46.1%. Very unfavorable, 27.2%. Somewhat unfavorable, 19%. Then you had about 18% of people that had no opinion, and somehow almost 10% of people had never heard of our United States senator who used to be the head of the North Carolina House and, you know, essentially spearheaded the Republican victories and Republican framework that we saw unfold after 2010 and 2012 and now to where we sit in 2025. So his favorability very much struggling there. And I bring that up because then you look at this previous question at Roy Cooper, the former governor, term limited governor of North Carolina. You look at his numbers and it's a completely different ballgame. Roy Cooper's favorability in this May Carolina Journal poll was 47.5%. with 33.2% of voters saying that they found him to be very favorable, 14.4% saying somewhat favorable, and his unfavorability significantly lower, just 36.6%, very unfavorable, 24%, somewhat unfavorable, 12%. So you look at somebody like Roy Cooper, who I'm surprised that he has not actually announced that he is running yet. Typically, you would have had that announcement already come out. It has not, at least to this point. Maybe that changes in the next couple of days now that this bombshell story dealing with Senator Tom Tillis is now played out and has now happened. It's going to be very interesting to see if Roy Cooper jumps in this race, or if we look at somebody like, you know, Jeff Jackson or somebody like a Cal Cunningham deciding that they're going to run for this seat. And, you know, one of these things, again, you'll see a lot of commentary over the next couple of days. You're going to see a lot of Democrats, just like I read that post from Jeff Jackson, that are going to now come out and praise Tom Tillis. Well, you see this playbook all the time, right? John McCain's the greatest example of this. When he ran against Obama, he was Satan. He was the worst guy in the world that when he ran against Barack Obama, right? He was terrible, according to the Democrats. Obama wins, he starts not voting with Republicans, and now he's applauded, right? John McCain was applauded for being so brave, for being such an individual that would come out and vote against his own party. Somebody that would stand up against the Republicans. This is the typical leftist playbook. When a Republican does what they should do, which is, oh, I don't know, vote with the rest of the Republicans in the Senate, vote with the president who also happens to be a Republican, they despise them. But when they stab Republicans in the back, then they are applauded by the left. And I say that and I bring that to your attention this afternoon to just make sure and keep that in the back of your mind as you're seeing now Democrats over the next couple of days coming out and applauding and praising over Tom Tillis and the great things that he's doing. Just months ago, they hated Tom Tillis. Just months ago, when he was voting to confirm people like Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, they wanted nothing to do with Tillis. But now that he's come out and said, I'm not voting for this big, beautiful bill, which, by the way, that vote is set to go down within the next couple of minutes. There's 10 pages left in reading of the reconciliation bill. So that is going to take place, that vote, there's 20 hours of debate that can start after that. So presumably that will be starting around maybe 4 o'clock or so this afternoon here on Sunday. So you'll have upwards the max amount of 20 hours worth of debate. You will likely see a vote on this bill sometime in the overnight or early morning hours tomorrow. Obviously, Senator Tillis is not going to vote for this. It's blatantly obvious that that's the case. And now I guess he believes that he's got the ability to do so, right? Because now he says, I'm going to call balls and strikes. But you haven't been able to do that in the past? You haven't been able to do that? I mean, he's voted against Trump plenty of times. In the first term, in the second term. So now he says he can call balls and strikes, yet that's what he's apparently been doing the entire time. He was one of just two Republican senators that were incapable of voting for Trump's big, beautiful bill. So that in itself, I don't understand. And so it's going to be an interesting process to watch. There's a lot of rumblings and a lot of rumoring online that, you know, Laura Trump could potentially run for this. I'll note that she's not a resident of North Carolina. So she would have to move to the state within the next couple, probably within the next 2 months, because I think you have to be a registered, you have to be a resident. I believe it's 6 months in the state before you're eligible to run for office. So she would have to move to North Carolina, get her voter registration here in the state, probably by August, to have everything that she needs to not only run, but win a primary election in March. And then, of course, go on to a general election. So she's going to have to move pretty quickly on that if she's going to do it. As I mentioned, RNC Chairman Michael Whatley is probably a pretty strong contender in that as well. Some other congressmen also could throw their hat into the race. Pat Harrigan. There's going to be a lot of individuals that are approached and things that are discussed over the next couple of weeks as we watch this process continue to unfold. I'm just checking to see if we've gotten reaction from President Trump. It does not appear that he has officially, he hasn't, doesn't see that he has said anything. Just seeing this popping up on X, Congressman Greg Murphy, apparently he is, quote, seriously considering a run for United States Senate. So you are going to see a massive amount of, renewed interest in this North Carolina Senate race. Obviously, with your incumbent out, which Tillis is now officially out, there's going to be a huge vacuum. You're going to have a lot of different people. And really, the big question is, who does the president support? As it stands right now, President Donald Trump, as you would imagine, as the president in the Oval Office, is driving a lot of this. He had torched Tillis yesterday on social media, indicated that he was looking forward to backing somebody in the primary. Tillis's statement indicated that he was already kind of waffling with the idea of supporting, of not running for re-election. And you can probably imagine Trump announcing that and saying that publicly was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. So not only is who can run for this, but who is going to get the endorsement of the president? Because it is likely, not a guaranteed, but likely the individual that gets the endorsement from Trump is likely the person that wins the race. It's not a guaranteed thing. It's not 100% certain. But whoever is likely gets the nod from Trump, he will obviously be campaigning hard in the midterm elections to continue to retain majorities, not only in the United States Senate, but also in the United States House, that you are going to have the president very much here in North Carolina, with us having one of the most influential Senate races here in the state, a very purple Senate seat and race unfolding in the middle and latter parts of next year. It's going to be very incumbent, and I'm going to be very interested to see how much the president stays involved or gets involved in this process. Is it somebody like his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump? Is it a former NCGOP, now RNC chairman, Michael Whatley? Is it a member of Congress? A lot of different individuals that you could imagine trying to all vie for this position. This is going to be a very interesting thing to watch. I can't say that I necessarily thought that Tillis was going to probably drop out of this. It makes sense with everything that you've seen over the last couple of weeks. I think it makes sense if Tillis thought that there was going to be a possibility that Trump was going to back somebody besides himself. It's a smart political move, right? Tillis doesn't want to run for this position. Tillis doesn't want to try to run for re-election to lose in the primary, right? He wants absolutely nothing to do with that whatsoever. He wants to make sure that he can not only get through the primary, but then, of course, win in the general. And if you had a potential situation unfolding where Trump was backing an alternative candidate in the primary, gets into a runoff election, whole bunch of money has to be pissed away in a runoff, all for that to unfold. It would be a very rough situation for the current United States Senator. As he notes, he wants to spend time with his family. He's been in, it's not like he's just randomly been in Washington, D.C. just a couple of years. He's put in his time. He was the Speaker of the North Carolina House starting back in 2012. He's been involved in this political game for a long time. So with all of that said, with all of those different factors kind of probably piling up, well, Senator Tom Tillis says that he is officially out of this process, and it is going to be a very interesting situation to watch unfold over the next couple of weeks and months. Not necessarily seeing an immediate reaction from President Trump. Just doing one final check here to see if the president has chimed in on this. He is not as of yet. I can imagine that he will. They'll probably thank Tillis, for his service and say that it's a time for fresh blood, time for new blood. And then maybe we'll see some breadcrumbs over the next couple of days and weeks as to who the president is thinking for this. There are already a couple of candidates that have officially announced that they are running. Andy Nielsen is one of those candidates that has already announced that they are going to be running for that position. On the Republican side, you've got another individual, Don Brown, out of the Charlotte area, that has also announced that he is going to be running in this primary. And you will now likely see many more individuals, potentially some high-profile individuals, members of Congress, maybe the RNC chairman, maybe Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump. Maybe she throws her hat into it as well. So a lot of very interesting things to look at in the coming weeks and months. We will keep an eye on it all right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, that's going to do it for this special Sunday edition. Again, the big breaking news this afternoon, U.S. Senator Tom Tillis, one of our two Republican senators in North Carolina, announces that he is not running for re-election. We'll keep an eye on those details on our social media channels. Make sure you give us a follow over there. Well, that's going to do it for this special Sunday edition. We're back with you Tuesday morning, live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.